Brethren, we call attention to the fact that there is a parallel convention, you might say, for the young peoples. The age groupings from 3 to 7, and there are also another class for 8. We are now coming to one of the highlights of the convention. Certainly from the framers of the program, they always kind of think of the theme discourse as kind of being the focal point of our fellowship and of our thoughts for the convention. And this year, most appropriately, offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving was the selected theme. Brother Larry McClellan has not been before the Jersey City Ecclesia. This is his first appearance as our guest speaker. However, he has been heard, I'm sure, by not only the Jersey City Ecclesia, but by almost every other ecclesia in the country, because Brother Larry is known affectionately as, quotes, the voice of God, end quotes. We have heard him in several of the productions, and his voice certainly resonates and gives the impact as a voice from on high. And I know the message that he will have for us this afternoon will be a message from on high. And it certainly is a privilege and a blessing to introduce to you our brother Larry. I've known him for a good many years now, and he's been an inspiration to me, and I know he will be to you. Our theme discourse, offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Brother Larry.
Thank you, Brother Ray. Sometimes when people meet me with that kind of introduction as a voice of God, I think they're a little disappointed. They say, I thought you'd be a lot bigger. But we thank the Lord for all of his benefits and blessings to us. We bring you the Christian love and greetings of your brother in Columbus, Indiana, especially that of my dear wife, Sister Debbie. I was happy that my mother could join me in being here. We have been given many inspiring experiences of late, and just getting back from Israel, you know, we're way up here on a mountaintop. And literally in Israel, there's a lot of mountaintops. And the whole land just came alive to us like it never had before. We're going to share some of that experience with you tomorrow for our service in the afternoon, for those of you who will be here. We've got a slide presentation where we'll be, thanks to Brother Tim Armstrong, who has shared some of his slides with us, we'll be able to communicate some of the joy of what we had experienced as a group of 76 brethren in Israel. Our theme text is taken from Psalms 107:22. You might like to turn to that. Psalms 107. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Brethren, for the next 35 minutes or so, I'm not going to say anything you haven't known and felt in your own heart over your many years of consecrated living. Nothing profound, just the simple truth of the experiences and appreciations we have as those who are privileged to be called the sons of God. Even that in itself we'll discuss a little bit more as we go on. We're thankful, though, that the world of mankind has set aside at least one day of the year, in part, those in the Christian nations, that is, for the purpose of thanking God for their provisions. Perhaps it's not as large a proportion of the earth as we might think, but still, I think it's good to see them recognizing the bountiful blessings that we have, especially in this land that we live, the United States of America. We have so very much. And yet, as much as we have, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of complaining. A lot of complaining. Murmuring and complaining. People complain about the government, and they complain about the president, and they complain about schools, and they complain about their neighborhoods, and they complain about not having the kind of clothes they want or not having the kind of food they want. They complain about almost everything. And again, we speak in generalities, and there's some very precious souls out there that do give thanks, like that 1 in 10 spoken earlier about this morning, that do give thanks and thank God for all the blessings that they have received. But by and large, in my experience, I see too much complaining. And brethren, even amongst ourselves, and I'm speaking to Brother Larry as well, when we say, I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit. Can anybody here raise their hand and say they fulfill that 100% of the time, all of their consecrated life? I know I haven't. I know I catch myself from time to time complaining perhaps about this situation or this circumstance. And then I try to catch myself, and I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed because the Lord has given me so very, very much, as He's given all of you. We know that in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it talks about this end time we live, doesn't it? Now what does it say there in 2 Timothy 3:2? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Where it says, in the last days perilous times shall come, in one translation it says, times of stress. Don't we feel that stress about us? The world feels that stress, and they don't have the knowledge of the truth that we do. No wonder sometimes they complain about this, that, or the other. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it, and they don't know where it's leading to. And it scares them, and they're in fear, and they're disillusioned, because they don't know what is going to happen to them in their lives, nor their children, nor their children's children. But brethren, when that same attitude of complaining penetrates your and my heart to where we complain about our coffee's not hot enough, or our seat's not comfortable enough, or we don't have this and we don't have that, and it should be this way and it should be that way, and we start internalizing those attitudes that are out there into here, we have a problem. These things should not be. And so what we'd like to do in this time we've been given, we'd like to break up into two categories things that we should be rejoicing in from Brother Larry's heart. But I'm sure there's a lot more that you could share with me, and probably will after I'm done, of things that, Brother Larry, I wish you would have said this, because I'm so thankful for that, and I'll probably say I wish I would have said that too. There's probably going to be things that are in your heart that we may not have time or even think about bringing out. But the two categories would be along the lines of temporal lines and the lines of spiritual thinking as far as a new creature goes. Let's first of all take the category of the temporal. Sometimes, perhaps, we don't consider this enough. How thankful are we for the bountiful food that we have? How thankful are we in comparison to all the world around us? You know, I guess it's by traveling that you find out that they don't have as much as we have here in this country. I mean, you think you know what people have and don't have, but until you travel, you really don't know. And we think about all the third world countries, and we think about people that are fortunate to have one meal a day. And brethren, let's face it, part of our problem in this country is, well, our weight-watching clinics and Weight Watchers and slim-fast diets and everything else shows what our problem is. In this country, we have an overabundance of food in contrast to the rest of the world of mankind. Look how the Lord has blessed our country with an abundance of provision. You can walk into an all-you-can-eat smorgasbord and see food galore all over the place. And there is a temptation there to partake of more than we need to. And I know I do that as well, because some of it looks very tantalizing. But do all things in moderation, even this. We have to self-discipline ourselves along the lines of diet. But indeed, we are thankful to the Lord for all the temporal provisions. How many people go without eating in a day? I don't think anybody does here. In fact, probably most of us have at least two, probably three meals a day, and some perhaps more. We have plenty of food, of which we are most thankful to the Heavenly Father for. Clothing provisions. Clothing provisions. It wasn't a matter when I came to this convention to say, do I have a suit to wear? It was a question of, which suit should I wear? I've got a closet brim full of clothes. I've got so many clothes, I don't know where to stick it in next. It's a walk-in closet. Of course, my wife shares it with me, and I won't say too much about that, or I'll get in trouble. But no, seriously, we take half and half of that closet. And brethren, I know there are brethren in other parts of the world, Romania and Poland and other places we've heard of, where brethren are fortunate to have a suit, as many of us do here. We've just been given so much. And I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. You know, maybe the sisters feel like they have a lot of dresses, you know, a lot of clothes. And I think sometimes if we went to some of these other countries and just saw what people don't have, it would make us appreciate what we have even more. Shelter. Not only do we have plenty of food, plenty of clothes, but shelter. How many of us here are homeless? And then those of us who do have homes, what kind of homes are they? I think probably it would be a safe estimate to say that very few of us are living in poverty conditions. Probably a good majority of us are living well above that, to where our shelter is there for us each night when we go home. It's a warm shelter. We have heat. We have many comforts that perhaps sometimes I know I take for granted. We have plenty of room. You know, when we were over in Israel and we saw where the Apostle Peter probably lived, there wasn't much room. And where a lot of those people years ago during the Second Temple period, it's unbelievable. We would be perhaps inclined to complain quite a bit if we had to have as many people live within a 12 by 12 area that some of those people lived in. Again, another cause for thanksgiving. Climatic conditions. How thankful are we for the climatic conditions? One time, and I don't know why it never impressed us to say it ourselves, but one time many years ago, we were out in a field where Brother Paul Brown, your Brother Paul Brown, has what he calls a Garden of Eden. And we had a service out there where Brother Ed Jesuit spoke, and a brother gave a prayer thanking the Lord for the sunshine. Now, do you know, I had been consecrated for probably 7 or 8 years, and I don't think I ever once in those consecrated years thanked the Lord for the sunshine. But you know, brethren, what would we do without that sunshine? Not much. The whole world would die without that sunshine. To feel the warmth of that sunshine is very peaceful, isn't it, sometimes, and gives you a good feeling when you're out, and especially when you're cold, to feel that sun hit your face. Some people are concerned about the ozone layer and the ill effects of the sunshine. So I thank the Lord that, at least for right now, He's overruling the amount of radiation that comes in upon us. because as wonderful as that sunshine is, if it's not screened properly, it could affect us. And so we leave that in the Lord's hands as well. And the rain. You know, in Indiana, as well as where I grew up in Detroit, there was plenty of rain, plenty of condensation. But where I just came from, in Israel, I understand they only have 5 months of rain. So if my mathematics serves me properly, that means 7 months they don't have rain. And if you don't have rain, you have a problem. For where there is water, there is life. And when we were up on Masada, as some of you can recall, and I'm looking out here, we're with us, they had to build large cisterns, 40,000-gallon cisterns, to contain the rain, to be a reservoir to carry them through for the drier times. Certainly, brethren, in our land, we have plenty of rain, and we thank the Lord for that rain that we drink. We thank the Lord for the rain that we cook with, eventually, as it's prepared for us, that we bathe with, that we use in so many ways. We're thankful indeed for the rain. How about a democracy? Are we thankful for the democracy we live in? Are we thankful that we live in a country where we have a constitution of the United States of America that protects us and gives us freedoms and liberties that other worlds don't know? Are we thankful for the Bill of Rights and the provisions that are there for us, for freedom of assembly and freedom of speech and freedom of religion? Are we thankful for the three branches of government that is a checks and balance system to where no certain branch would have too much power as, say, the executive branch or the judicial branch or the legislative branch? You know, some of our brethren who came from Romania could tell us stories, couldn't they? And some have, about what conditions were like where they didn't have freedom of assembly. And when they were found out to have assembly meetings of the brethren, some of them were taken in jail. Have we ever known that here in this country? In my lifetime, I haven't known that. Because we've always had that freedom to meet and go and travel and visit with the brethren, wherever we wanted to go. We're thankful to the Lord for that freedom. National security. When we were in Israel, almost everywhere we went, there were armed forces, men and women walking around with guns. Now, it gave you a good feeling because you knew that if they weren't there, somebody else might be there who might cause you a problem in safety. So it was kind of a good feeling to know they were there. But our trust was in the Lord. He could work through that agency if he needed to. Especially when we were in Hebron. Brother Bob, I know, looking at me here, remembers when we were there across from the tomb of Abraham and the conditions that were across the street. We have security in our country that I am thankful for. I am thankful that we don't have to worry about many of the things that the people do in Israel that we perhaps may take for granted. We have crimes, we have violence, we have bombs going off, yes, but I don't think you can really compare our country to a country even like Israel or other countries which are much worse than that. Medical provisions. How many of us have medical provisions? How many of us are worried that if we get, or concerned, that if we get sick or afflicted and we have to go to the hospital, we'll be out $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 or more in medical bills? A lot of us have provisions for that. A lot of us have medical coverages and other things that take care of our medical necessities. I'm thankful for that. Brethren, all I'm trying to do in all of this is stir up our minds in appreciation for all the many blessings the Lord has given us along temporal lines. This is a land of liberty. This is a land of much liberty, educational liberty. Maybe we take for granted some of those liberties of education. Maybe we don't. But there is much that's provided for us along those lines as well. Now, what about causes for gratitude along spiritual lines? What do we really thank the Lord for along those lines? What would you thank the Lord for first? How deep does the spirit of thankfulness penetrate our hearts? Let's turn for a second to Psalms 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Brother, it's a very humbling opportunity for me to be up here in front of the saints of the Most High, with so many others so much more qualified than myself, to speak along these lines of the many multitudinous blessings the Lord has given unto us, more than what that can be numbered, and more that can be shared with you in the amount of time that we have. Take a look at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Brethren, hasn't the Lord brought us up out of the horrible pit of plain R, of degradation, of a sinful plane, and brought us up upon the rock of Christ, of justification that we have, which we'll speak of more about a little later? Hasn't he put a new song in your and my hearts and mouths? The song of restitution. The song of restitution. The blessings promised by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. And that is something we can share not only amongst ourselves, but with the world of mankind to the extent they'll let us. Now let's take a look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verses 8 to 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Could people say that about you and I? Would those qualities fit us? That we are merciful and gracious? Are we slow to anger? And are we plenteous in mercy, as our brother spoke about earlier? He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Do we keep our anger? Do we hide little hurts and affronts sometimes that the brethren do, or others do, that hurt our feelings? And do we harbor those and nurse those? No, love keeps no score of wrongs within the heart of a new creature who wants the Lord to look at him and judge him in the same way that we look at others. With what mercy you extend to others, you will be given, right? He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Thank God for that. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Here's the justification again. Who can stand without the robe of Christ? Who can stand without the merit, that efficacious merit that gives us access to the Father? Look at the next verse. For as the heaven is high above the earth, how far is that? So great is his mercy toward them that reverence him. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? It's a long ways, isn't it? I don't think they ever meet. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, that he can take you and I, brethren, products of over 6,000 years of inherited sin, and in spite of the frame of which we are, the same one that Paul said, O wretched man that I am, I say the things that I want not to say, and I do the things that I want not to do. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? He takes us from that point, and by the merit covering of Christ, by that imputed righteousness in which we have, that we can come to him and call him Abba Father, he lifts us up and says, I won't even know you according to your flesh. That's something to be thankful for. Praise God for that. but he doesn't even know me according to my flesh. The question is, do we deal the same way with our brethren? The same way we want him to look at us, do we likewise, as imitators of God, extend that same gratitude, that same latitude towards our brethren? Maybe we need to work on that. You know, I hope as we go through this, I might prick something in your minds or hearts that you could set a goal. And you might say, well, maybe there's something I need to work on a little bit more. And then make that goal a reality by the power and strength the Heavenly Father will give you to accomplish that. He remembereth that we are dust. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How much does that grace mean to you? What is grace? Isn't it unmerited favor? You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. We've gotten something that we didn't deserve. How does that make you feel? Have you ever gotten something in your life that you didn't earn? It was given to you? Didn't that humble you? Didn't that make you feel appreciative and thankful? That's the effect it should have upon us. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace that passeth all understanding. Are you thankful for that peace? Do you think those people out there in Manhattan, in the Bronx, and other places have that same peace? Who has the peace like we do? That's something to be thankful for. We have a peace in our relationship with our Creator. We have a peace in the knowledge of the Abrahamic blessings, the Abrahamic seed's blessings, that will come to all the families of the earth as the stars of heaven and as the sands upon the seashore. That gives us great peace. And I'm thankful for a wonderful Heavenly Father. Let's take a look for a moment at Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Connect that with James chapter 1. Verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Brethren, I'm thankful that there is no changeableness in this great God that we read about earlier in Exodus 34:6. That he was the same back there for Moses, he was the same back there for Adam, and he's the same today. He never has changed, he never will change. How many people do you know in your lives that are that unchangeable? Do you know anybody? We're all kind of in a state of change, and hopefully that's for the good. But our God is good, and he is gracious, and he is merciful, and he is loving, and he is just, and he is powerful. And we love him because what we've known in our scriptural studies, he has extended to our knowledge to appreciate of his personality and character. And the more we know about him, the more we love him. The more he extends himself to us as we earn it by desirous, intense application of applying what we've learned, the more he reveals himself to us. And I'm thankful that he never changes because I love what I see and what I've learned. And what about that most precious gift he gave? How could he give anything more precious than his only beloved son? How could he? There wasn't anything more precious to him that he could give. Jesus Christ, our advocate. How we love our beloved master. Think about what he did for us when he bled and died at Calvary. And before that, the humiliation he went through. Think about being scourged. Think about being mocked. Think about being stripped naked. Think about being laughed as you try to pull a rugged cross down a stony road or pathway. And he was lifted up for everybody to look at him in a total misrepresentation for everything he ever stood for in glorifying his Heavenly Father. Both of them gave everything they could give to us. The question is, how much do we give to them? How thankful we are for Jesus. You know, when we were in Israel and I bowed down in prayer in the tomb behind my brother Obi, that was the most precious experience of the whole trip, maybe of my whole life, to be in the tomb of our Lord, where the angel said, "Why seek ye the dead amongst the living?" And to think of what took place there, to think that because he was perfect and he fulfilled the law and he nailed it to the cross and he didn't forfeit but voluntarily gave his life as a ransom for all, and that he gave it not just for us, because justice isn't just us, but he gave it for the whole world of mankind. And to think that I was kneeling down in prayer at that very spot from which our Lord and Master rose from the dead and became a glorious being. That was truly an inspiration to me. And what about the truth, brethren? What about the truth? How thankful are we for the truth? I think the ones perhaps sometimes who are more thankful are those who, in contrast, didn't have the truth and then came into the truth. I've always had the truth, but I sure didn't appreciate it as much in the early part of my life as I do now. Brother, when we talk to people who believe in a God that unfairly would condemn them to eternal damnation, not for a day or a week or a month, but for years upon eternity, that's a devilish God with a devilish wisdom. When we think about people that believe in a triune God, to where our Master would be on the cross and say, in essence, "Myself, myself, why have I forsaken myself?" It doesn't make sense. When he kneeled in Gethsemane, would he have said, "Myself, take this cup from me, but not my will, but my will be done"? It doesn't make sense. And not just the hell concept and the Trinity concept and all the other dogmas of the adversary, but the precious truths of restitution and the blessings coming upon all the world of mankind. The harvest message that we've been given. Where would we be without the harvest message? How thankful are we that the Lord revealed during this harvest period the meat in due season to us through that wise and faithful servant, the guidance that Brother Carl talked about, like our pillar, or like the fiery pillar, as the cloud was also a guidance to Israel. So this is our guidance as we seek to strive to understand what people have been striving to understand for 2,000 years. How thankful are we that we have the map of the studies and the scriptures to help us perceive and understand the concepts and lessons that are here. And brethren, let us never get like a Jehovah's Witness who I talked to recently, who said, "Yes, we have the studies in the scriptures. They're in our kingdom hall up on a shelf, gathering dust." Let us never get to the point where we demonstrate an unthankful appreciation to Heavenly Father by letting go of even one page of those. No, they're not the Bible, but they are our guide to understanding the scriptures. And where would we be without them? Where would any one of us be without those studies in the scriptures? Thank God for those. The Holy Spirit. How thankful are we that we have this holy influencing power of God operating in our lives to change us, to help us understand this word of truth? Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 11th verse. "For what man knoweth the things of a man," Brother Carl read this earlier, "save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, verse 15, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brethren, how wonderful and how thankful we should be that we have this holy influencing power of God operating within us, this treasure in earthen vessel that helps to illuminate our minds, to give us comprehension that other people many, many, many more times all over the world are trying to look at and understand the same words that we're reading, and yet these words come alive to us. These words have meaning. These words fit together like a jigsaw puzzle piece and give us comprehension, give us appreciation, give us the vehicle, the tools by which to operate, to go on to fullness of sonship, to go on to having the elements that need to be within us along the lines of the principles of truth and righteousness, along the lines of the fruits of the Spirit that help us to become more godlike, more Christ-like in our daily lives. Privileges and benefits of sonship. How does that strike you? 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, you and me, that we should be called the sons of God. The sons of God. Cherubim and seraphim bow down and prostrate themselves to this Father of light, this Ancient of Days. And we are given the special opportunity, which would be very humbling to us, to sit as part of the divine family of God, as sons of God, in the closest sense, sharing the divine nature with our Master. We also have the privilege and should thank the Lord for being able to drink of that cup when he was asked, remember, can you drink of the cup? Remember when he was confronted by, I believe it was James and John, and some say it was their mother, that asked, could they sit at the right hand and left hand of you? And he says, you know not what you ask. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with? And they said, we can't. Then you shall. Do we thank the Lord for the cup of sharing as part of the sin offering? We look at Colossians 1:24-26. And there it tells us what? It says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to what his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. And that is a question for all of us. As we consider all these things we're thankful for, is Christ in us? And to what extent is our Master in us? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brethren, do we give thanks as the Master did when he blessed the cup, remember? In the upper room, he thanked the Lord for it. Do we thank the Lord for our trials and experiences? Our manna this morning, wasn't it something along the lines in James 1 verse 2 about count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations? How do you count it a joy when you're having troubles that afflict the flesh as well as the spirit? The only way you can rejoice is in the spirit. The flesh is going to suffer. You've consecrated your all to God. You put your all on the altar. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, there's the merit of Christ, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We presented our bodies a living sacrifice. We're thankful for the opportunity of sharing with Christ as part of the sin offering for the world of mankind, that we can be part of that in dispensing as a result, if we're faithful, the blessings of the new covenant when it becomes operative for the world of mankind, so that they too can come, maybe not in such a keen a way as we are becoming, but they too can become more and more appreciative and loving toward and adoring to the wonderful Heavenly Father, which we all have come to know more and more in our lives. And we're thankful, Father, or we're thankful, brethren, for what the Father has given us in being able to assemble with those of like precious faith. Remember in Hebrews 10, 24 and 5, forsake not the assembling of thy brethren. And what are we supposed to do when we come together? Provoke one another to what? Love and to good works. Sometimes we provoke each other along other lines, and we shouldn't do that. Provoke each other to love and to good works. Brethren, we should be thankful, very thankful, that we have such a support system. If I'm having a trial or a difficulty, I have brethren I can go to, and I can share some of that with. And they can give me some of what we have here. And they can fulfill what it says in Psalms 91, remember? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Sometimes you are angels one to another. The support system that we have is wonderful. And we should be so wonderfully thankful to the Heavenly Father for all of this that he has given us. What did the Master have, or who did the Master have, when he was in Gethsemane? To support him. Each time he went back, the ones who could have supported him were asleep, weren't they? But look what we have. We have people that speak the same language, the language other people think we're kind of peculiar speaking out there, but we can share this wonderful language of the truth, one with each other. This wonderful hope, this wonderful inspiration the Heavenly Father has given us. Well, I was worried this would happen. I've got so much more here to share with you. The privileges of prayer and privileges of glorifying our Heavenly Father in so many ways. And then, what do we do in return? What is the sacrifice of thanksgiving? But the sacrifice of yourself. Do we love God and demonstrate to Him that we love Him with all our mind, all our hope, all our strength, all our being? Do we sacrifice ourselves daily and hourly? Do we sacrifice time? Time, a very scarce commodity in a world in which we live. And to what extent do we sacrifice that time? Do with thy mind or will what you find in your hand. Remember Ecclesiastes 9:10? Do it while you can, brethren, for the time is coming when no man can work. Do it now while you can, because the time when will come when the saints will be on the other side. And I pray to the Lord that we will be part of them and be part of that wonderful Abrahamic seed. Only one day will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Well, thank you, Brother Larry, for revealing some of the areas in which we have to be thankful for. And really, it will take all eternity for us to thank God for all of His blessings to us. Remind you that in 1/2 hour we will resume once again with a testimony meeting. Let us rise and sing the first and last of Appendix J, in keeping with this general theme of count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Appendix J, first and last.
most kind and loving Heavenly Father, how much we love and appreciate you and your beloved Son, our advocate,